Praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. We give thanks to God for His mercies towards us all. We thank God for every one of us who is here this evening. I want us to bow our heads as we pray. Let's thank Him for His goodness and His mercies towards us. His faithfulness is forever, and His loving kindness, they are new every morning. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Let's thank Him and thank the Holy Spirit, our helper, our strengthener, the lover of our souls. Oh, Spirit of God, we are grateful. Let's thank Him for yet another opportunity to gather like this, to come before Him, to have an encounter with Him. Oh, what a great privilege. What a great privilege to be in His presence, to be at His feet, to learn at His feet, to seek His face. Father, we are grateful. We are grateful. Let us pray for our brethren that may be on their way, that the Spirit of the Lord will quicken them. And if there be anyone close by who is still dilly-dallying whether to come or not, let's pray that the Holy Spirit will convict them of laziness, of procrastination, that they may quickly get up and start coming, so that we may all be blessed together. This is our prayer, Holy Spirit. This meeting is about You. We want to see You. We want to meet with You. We want You to have Your way in the midst of Your church here this day. Impact our lives in an irreversible manner. Spirit of the living God, we depend on You. Be glorified, Lord. Thank You, Father, for You love us with an everlasting love. We are grateful. Let Your word come to us in a very definite manner. Let it impact us such that we'll be better for it, to the glory and praise of Your name. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. In the name of Jesus Christ, we have prayed. Praise the Lord. Obviously, without mincing words, we are living at the end of the age. And one of the reasons, or one of the things that Jesus Christ emphasized that we characterize the end of the age, is what He said in Matthew chapter 24, verse 12. Matthew 24, verse 12, He said, "And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." Love towards God, love towards the house of God, love towards the things of God, love towards the children of God, we dwindle. We begin to dwindle. And you know, the easiest thing to do in order to backslide is not to do anything. Just don't pray. Just don't read the Bible. Just don't fellowship with the fellow brethren. Before you know it, the fellow is down, 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 down spiritually. But if you must advance spiritually, if we must grow spiritually, then we need to put in effort. We need to put in sacrifice. We need to put in all that is within us in order that we may move with the tide of the Spirit of God. And I am glad that you are here. I'm here this evening, and that the Spirit of God is here before we came. He will touch us in a definite way. He will revive us because we are seeking for Him. He will do something new, something great in our lives, in the name of Jesus. The title of the exaltation for this evening is Signs of Spiritual Growth. Signs for spiritual growth. What are the things that will be evident in the life of a person, a child of God, a Christian that is growing spiritually? We all know that progress and growth are desirable in all spheres of life. Progress and growth are desirable in all spheres of life. Everybody wants to grow. both physically, financially, educationally, professionally, and of course, it is expected that we will also desire to grow spiritually. And if one is not growing, take for instance, parents and well-wishers are always very agitated and concerned if a child does not grow as he should. You can imagine a child of 1 year old that is not yet been able to sit down on his own or her own. The parents will obviously be agitated. Say, something is wrong with this child. How come to just put the child down to sit, it will just fall by the side? Or by the time the child is 2 years old, he still cannot stand on his own or her own. There is a serious problem. We all know that. So when also a student is not making progress in his or her academics, both the teachers and the parents will be concerned. So when there is no progress and growth in important areas of our life, then we know that there is problem, there is trouble. A Christian who is not growing spiritually should be concerned, should cry out to the Lord to say, Lord, I can't see a meaningful progress in my life between last year and this year. What have I added to my advancement spiritually? If there is no concrete evidence of growth, then we need to cry out to God. As we will see this evening, the Lord will point our attention to certain areas of our lives that will help us to assess ourselves whether we are growing spiritually or not. So it is also the desire of God, of course, for each of us to grow spiritually. God is not happy when his child is not growing. If any of his children is not growing in intimacy with him, is not growing in his or her services to God, to the kingdom of God, there is always that concern. And that means it is possible that that child of God is stagnant or retrogressive. Because in life, in actual fact, even if we say someone is stagnant, it will just be momentary. Before you know it, the person will either start to progress or start to retreat or regress. So it is important that we look at those things that may cause stagnancy without spiritual growth in our lives. And what does it mean to be stagnant spiritually? It means to stand still. No growth at all. If one is not showing signs of growth, then it means that one is half-hearted. Half-hearted to the things of God. In obeying the word of God, one is half-hearted. And that's why I made reference to that Matthew chapter 24, verse 12, that Jesus Christ said will be an evidence of the end of the time, that iniquity will abound. And you don't need to say that to anybody again. Everybody around knows that things are no longer what they used to be in the general society. And of course, in the Church of Christ, even amongst Christians. And that's why we should be very concerned. Things that people will do and feel very bad about, and we cry over. Today, people are flaunting it around. They are doing it without blinking eyes. May God deliver us in Jesus' name. So when a child of God is not growing spiritually, the tendency is to render half-hearted obedience to God. And it's instructive for us to realize that it is possible for one to be even to be doing the will of God, but half-heartedly. In 2 Chronicles chapter 25, 2 Chronicles chapter 25, there is the case of this man, this king. 2 Chronicles 25. this man, the king, called Amaziah. 2 Chronicles 25, 1 and 2. Amaziah was 25 years old when he became to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jehoiada of Jerusalem. Look at verse 2. And he did that which was right in the sight of God, but not with a perfect heart. Note that. He did what was right in the sight of God, but not with a perfect heart. That is very serious a case. In other words, people looking at this man, brethren, children of God, people who love God, looking at this man, this king, they will say, wow, this king is doing a lot of things in the name of God, in the kingdom. But before God, his work was not perfect before him. He was half-hearted. In other words, he was pretentious. He was pretentious. And you will notice that he was 25 years old when he started. He reigned for 29, giving it 54 years old. Fortunately, there was another king who had exact period of time. He also was 25 years old when he took on the reign of the kingdom. And he also reigned for 29 years, but he pleased God. He served God with a perfect heart. And that was King Hezekiah. In that same 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verses 1 and 2. 2 Chronicles 29, 1 and 2. Hezekiah began to reign when he was 25 years old. And he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father had done. Can you see the difference? So the question each of us should ask ourselves, are we serving God? Are we pursuing after God? Doing the things of God? Doing the things of the Spirit wholeheartedly? Or is it because we are being forced to? Like Amaziah, he pretend to love God, to be the king and serve God. But his heart was not wholly there. Brethren, if there is a thing you must cry out to God for this evening, is that, Lord, please grant me grace to serve you wholeheartedly. May I not serve you half-heartedly like Amaziah, but like Hezekiah, who went into the word of God, sought after how one should serve the Lord wholeheartedly, so that one will be pleasing God, and that shall be our Lord in the name of Jesus. So when one is not serving God wholeheartedly, he's serving God superficially. It's just half obedience. Wrong motive. He had wrong motive. Yes, he was pretending to be serving God. So the question is, how are you serving God? How are you following after God? How are you following after God? Otherwise, you could be stagnant. Because when we say someone is stagnant spiritually, it's like water that is not flowing. You've heard of Dead Sea before. Dead Sea is in the land of Israel. It receives water from rivers. From River Jordan and other tributaries that come into it. But it never gives out. It doesn't give out. Water does not flow out of the Dead Sea. And that's why it's very salty. Highly salty, stagnant. And a stagnant water will invariably become what? Stinking. Stinking. And so when a child of God is stagnant in his or her spiritual walk with God, the life will become decayed with time. God will not desire that life anymore because it will not be bringing glory to God. I pray that any one of us who will see himself or herself to be spiritually stagnant or even retrogressing, which is worse, we cry out to God today and say, God, please take me deeper in my love and my walk with you. Take me further beyond where I am today. I want to walk with you much more in the name of Jesus. And in the early church, we see the cases of brethren in Ephesus and the Hebrew brethren that Paul wrote to concerning their spiritual state. In Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12, Hebrews chapter 5, 12 to 14. Hebrews 5, 12 to 14. Paul was writing to the brethren. He said, for when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. The time that you should be have become someone who is teaching others, you still need someone to teach you the rudiments of faith, the rudiments of Christianity. You are just satisfied with where you are. Nothing is being added to you. Nothing is happening to you that is dynamic. And you are just like that, coming and going, but no progress spiritually. Paul was lamenting over these brethren. He says, for the time ye ought to be teachers, you have need that one should teach you again the rudiment, the oracles of God, and you have become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Like I mentioned earlier on, you can imagine a one-year-old child who should start eating solid food, refuses to eat solid food, but only milk. Will that child grow properly? No. Because medical people will tell our mommies that once that child is maybe from 4 months, 6 months, you should start putting some pepper in the mouth of the child. I think I'm correct. So that the child will know that it is not, you are not just born for milk. You are meant to move, to grow. So the child may cry. At times when you put the pepper in the mouth, some children will cry out. They don't want it because it's something else they are not used to. And then, maybe after 6 months, mothers will say, in many instances, even though it is advised at times that a child should be breastfed for 6 months, fully breastfed. But after that, the child should start eating amala and fish and things like that gradually. Then you begin to introduce meat too. By the time that child is 2 years old, he should start to struggle with the adults to eat chicken and fish. Those are the things we expect normally from a child that is growing. And if a child that is growing, he grows up to maybe age 10, is supposed to now graduate from primary school from maybe that age 10 to get to secondary school, and this child can hardly write his name or her name, then there is trouble. There are many teachers here. There are many parents here. You know it. The parents will be concerned. God is sort, in a way, concerned about us when we are not making progress. By the time the child is supposed to have graduated from secondary school and be going to the tertiary institution, and is writing JAMB and what have you, and he's not passing, he can't make progress. After first one, two attempts, no show. Troubles start in the family. Everybody is concerned. We all see this in the physical realm. It is the same in the spiritual realm. Brethren, we need to cry out to God. Check your life. Am I still where I was last year? What is the evidence of my advancement? I need to move forward. And also in Ephesians chapter 4, 14 and 15. He came with the charge to the brethren and to us this month, this evening. Ephesians chapter 4, 14 and 15. He said that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to receive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. That is, we should always aim to be like Jesus, growing into his stature, growing into his desire for our lives, so that we do not become tossed to and fro. Unfortunately, we see many Christians in our days. They run from one place to the other, seeking for one thing or the other. They cannot digest the strong meat of the Word of God. They don't want to take the strong meat of the Word of God. They just want to be fed the milk. The milk every now and then. For them to stand on their own, to pray on their own, to do serious Bible study on their own is the problem. So such ones are easily deceived. What do you need? I'm sure you know more than I do when it comes to social media. The other day, somebody say something, or I read it somewhere that a man, I think in Latin America, is saying that he will give people certificates to heaven. They should pay certain amounts. How many of us read about it? Yes, some people will go for such things. They say, I want to go to heaven, how many dollars? And they will look for the dollars and pay. Can you imagine that? People have been deceived, yet people are gullible. Why? Because they do not want to eat the strong meat of the Word of God. They just want to sit down and be fed milk upon milk of the Word of God. Little things. Every now and then, when you begin to say some hard things of the kingdom, they say, that is too much. Your own is too much in this place. You want to kill us? You will say we should fast. You will say we should come for all night. You will say we should memorize scriptures. You will say this and that. Are we the pastor? I'm not the elder now. All you, in your center, they are telling you, brother, sister, you ought to be a discipleship center pastor or an assistant pastor. I say, I can't do that. I don't know anything. And you are not seeking to know. You just want to sit complacent. You must cry out to God this day and move. Tell yourself, I will move forward in the name of Jesus. And it shall be so in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul's concern about the Hebrew and Corinthian Christians, as we also will see in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians 3. Let's open to that place also. Paul was concerned about their spiritual stagnancy and slow progress. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 1 to 3. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk
as men, ordinary men, like ordinary people in the society. He was lamenting their state that upon all the effort, upon all the teachings, you still remain on the same spot. You are still stagnant spiritually. And you are taken away by the mundane things of this life. And in the church, amongst the brethren, were things like envy, strife, divisions. And he said, are you not carnal? Are you not like the unbelievers? So if you are here, you are still fighting one brother or the other, you are still not greeting one brother or the other, you are carnal. That's what the Bible is saying. You are behaving like the unbelievers. You are saying, that brother, I have nothing to do with him. That sister, that family. No. Let them go their way, I go my way. You are a stinking, stagnant person spiritually. That's what the Bible is saying. That's what Paul was telling the brethren in Corinth. He was challenging them to get up. He says, I can't speak to you as unto people that are spiritual. Why? Because you still want to be fed with milk, little things about the things of the kingdom. Many believers today are actually spiritually stagnant because, like this stagnant water that stinks, a believer in that state will invariably backslide. It's just a matter of time before the evidence of backsliding will become so distinct in the life of such. But we will not fall into that category in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Now, we find out that even as the new believers, if we are not making conscious effort to draw close to Jesus, who has called us to be his servant, his children, we will soon find out that he has gone far and we are far behind. Look at the case of Peter in Matthew chapter 26. It's a familiar story. Matthew chapter 26 verse 58. Matthew 26, 58. But Peter, listen to it. But Peter followed him afar off unto the high priest's palace, and went in and sat with the servant to see the end. But Peter that swore to his master that even if it means dying, I'm ready to die with you. But when they got to the Garden of Gethsemane and they were praying, waiting with the master in the place of prayer, of course, you know the story very well. They slept off. He came to wake them three times. And then when those who will arrest Jesus Christ came, the Bible says all of the disciples vamoosed. That is, they took to their heels. They ran away. And the foremost apostle, Peter, he was following gradually afar off. He has promised the master, I will not deny you, even if it means dying. And later on, of course, after this episode, where he eventually denied Jesus, he said, I never knew him. When he was queried three times, and the prophecy Jesus Christ prayed, that he would deny him three times before the cock crows. He knew that something had gone wrong. He cried. He repented. But that was not enough. Because after Jesus was crucified and led to the grave, even after Jesus appeared to them after his resurrection, what happened? Peter still told his colleagues, I go a fishing. I go to where I'm coming from. And others who followed him. Jesus had to come again to say, Peter, do you love me more than this? He said, I love you. Three times he asked him. And then he got the message. Thank God he got the message. And I pray that as the Holy Spirit is telling us this day, individually, do you love me more than these mundane things that are not allowing you to stay in my presence, to seek my face, to pray the way you should pray, to study the word of God the way you should study, to serve me wholeheartedly? You always give excuses. You are always here and there. You know, time, no quality time to seek my face. You are behaving like Peter, giving excuses. Tiredness at the end of the day. You can't pray and pray meaningfully. You are following Jesus afar off, half-heartedly, not zealously, not consecrated as you ought to be. Eventually, someone who does that, like Peter, what happened? He denied Jesus. Such a person will deny Jesus when the chips are down. And we need to pray for ourselves in this untoward and perverse generation, when wickedness is so rampant, when people do things with impunity. If I come face to face to decide between life and death for the sake of Christ, will I deny Jesus? This is the time to make up your mind. Because if you don't make up your mind now and pursue after that, when the chips are down, it may meet you so suddenly that before you know it, you are already denying Christ. But I pray that none of us will deny Christ in Jesus' name. There are certain things we can see when we are spiritually stagnant. One, ignorance. Ignorance of spiritual things. We may not have so much time to look at each of these, because there are quite many, about 10 of them. So one, we become ignorant of spiritual things. Two, there will be inability to offer essential kingdom service. Inability, as we see today. One of the essential services we should render to God is to be here on a Thursday like this. Quite a number of our brethren are not here. That's an evidence of spiritual stagnancy to many. Then, lack of spiritual revelation and insight. Such a person will just be going around in cycle. Nothing new is happening to him or her spiritually. And then there will be a withdrawal from strong meat. When they say, come and let us dig deep into the scripture. Let us learn deep things of the spirit. Such a person will always have excuses. Then we have superficial obedience. The fellow will be superficially obeying God. He only wants to do things when they are convenient. Anything that we make him to be done that will inconvenience him or her, or affect his or her plan, she doesn't want to handle that. She will give excuses. Then there will be weak attachment to Christ. The fellow is not fully attached to Jesus, like Peter's case that we read. Peter was following afar off, looking at what will really happen to this man, so that if I see that things are not the way they should, I will run. That's why he denied Jesus. He denied Jesus. And then there will be spiritual dullness and blindness. The person will become dull spiritually. He will not be able to see beyond his or her nose, spiritually speaking. Spiritual dullness. Spiritual blindness. And of course, immaturity and instability spiritually will characterize the life of that person. Are you behaving immaturely? Are you unstable spiritually? Then that means you are in a critical state of stagnancy spiritually. And of course, carnality and worldliness will become obvious in the life of such a person. What are we seeing today? Many Christians are becoming so worldly, so carnal, in their thoughts, in their words, in their disposition, in their appearance. Whereas we are supposed to be like Jesus, pursuing to be like Jesus every day, to think like Jesus, to speak like Jesus, to act like Jesus, But they want to be like the people out there. It is from out there they take the form of what they are. Carnality. Like Jesus, Peter told the Corinthian Christians, are you not carnal? Of course, speaking like the unbelievers. Are you not still worldly? So then, sin and backsliding will surface in the life of such a person because it's spiritually stagnant. Little foxes will begin to come in. Little sin. Telling lies will become more rampant in the life of such a person. The fellow will just discover that it's becoming easy for him or her to tell lies and still wave it aside. To pretend, say, it doesn't matter. After all, nobody is perfect. When you hear a Christian saying that, that Christian is spiritually stagnant. When they are saying, is there anybody perfect? Is even the pastor perfect? When you hear a Christian say that, know that that Christian is spiritually stagnant. Because what is expected of us is to move forward, continue to move on to perfection. We should be like Jesus. We are seeking to be like Jesus every day. And when sin and backsliding takes place, the fellow is heading for the dungeon of the devil. Peter was following Jesus from afar off. Are you following Jesus from afar off? Then, if we must move forward, what are the steps that we need to take in order to be spiritually advancing in our lives? We need to make spiritual progress. If we must grow spiritually, and in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verses 6 to 8, God told Moses, you and these people have dwelt so long on this mountain. The spirit of Kadesh Barnea, they were going around in circle. They are just moving around around the same environment. They were not making progress. And God had to tell them, move from this place, move upward and possess the land. Move and possess the land. So spiritual progress demands change. Change your location spiritually. Move to the next level. Lay aside things that are hindering your spiritual progress. In other words, you must identify what are the things that are making my spiritual progress not to be this way it should be. Am I making enough progress? Am I taking 2 steps forward and 3 steps backwards? So, look at your life and then identify those things that we are making you to become either stagnated or retrogressing in your spiritual work with the Lord. So that you'll be able to say, this one has to stay. And that means prioritizing our lives. Your priorities must be well defined. People should know us. Even our family members should know us with the priorities of our lives. Can they say, if you wake up by 6, you will meet him at the place of prayer. You will meet her at the place of prayer. If it is 10 p.m. in the night, once she finishes eating, you will meet her in the place of studying the word. And things like that. Oh, she cannot do without talking about Jesus every day. You will see her, she's always vibrant and exuberant in speaking about the things of the kingdom. That is an evidence of progress. But if for the whole day you never spoke about Jesus to anybody, or even amongst the brethren, all that you are talking about are just that have to do with politics, that have to do with economy, and nothing spiritual about what you are saying, then you watch it. There is a problem. So we should learn to identify and lay aside those things that are hitting deep into our spiritual life. So we need to take note that we need to become thirsty and have desire for real spiritual growth. Are you satisfied with your spiritual state? Please, let us become dissatisfied with our present spiritual state. That's the first thing. The moment any one of us becomes satisfied and say, I will not kill myself. I'm okay like this. That person, before you know it, will become stagnant and begin to retrogress and eventually will deny Jesus. And then, there must be proper feeding on the Word of God. The Word of God must be very close to you. You must be very close to the Word of God. I see some of us, from morning to night, you don't have the Bible with you. And the excuse some will give now is that they have different versions of the Bible on their phones. But even that, they never make reference to it throughout the day. Do you have a Bible in your car, in your handbag, in your small pocket? When you are alone, maybe you are waiting for someone, do you make recourse to the Bible? Do you take the Bible, even if it is on your handset, do you begin to read? Or you have all that time you are spending on social media? Things that do not meet for spiritual progress. And then praying constantly, fervently, not for mundane but spiritual things, is required if we must grow spiritually. What is your prayer life like? What are the subjects of your prayers? You to assess your prayer. Think of what you pray on every now and then. Are there things that will move you forward spiritually, or there are things that will keep you laying hold on mundane things? Give me clothes, give me food, give me this, give me that, Lord. You are asking for mundane things that perish with you, primarily. No, that will not make for spiritual progress. Rather, we should pray constantly, fervently, for things that are of spiritual value. Then, consecration unto the Lord. We should lay everything on the altar. Our life should be laid on the altar. Are we telling Jesus every day, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, today. Take my moment and my day. Take everything about me. Use it for your glory. I just want to please you, Lord. I just want to do your will. Then we need to separate from things that hinder spiritual growth. There are obvious things around us that want to distract us. Some of them, they do not look sinful, but they are time wasters. You need to identify them and take a step or run away, flee from them. Anything that is not making to make your life more spiritual, run away from it. And then, change of spiritual diet. You need to change your spiritual diet if you must grow spiritually. Develop a taste for strong meat of the Word of God. Change your spiritual diet. What does that mean? It means that you should not be satisfied with little things around. Now that you are growing spiritually, you should seek to know God much more. Taking time to, I always try to remind us that we have to do 6 things with the Word of God. And let me repeat them. We have to read the Word of God. Study the Word of God. Memorize the Word of God. Confess the Word of God. Teach the Word of God. And do the Word of God. 6 things. If you will do these things on a consistent basis, you will be advancing spiritually. Spiritually. And so the meat of the Word of God should be our portion. And then we see that when we do this, there are signs of spiritual growth that we begin to see. The first thing is that you will have greater love for God and the things that are God's and for people around you. Greater love for God and His things and for people around us. In Ephesians chapter 4 verse 15, it says, but speaking the truth in love, we may grow up into him in all things. Ephesians 4:15. Which is the head, even Christ, growing into him in all things. So when we are growing spiritually, you find out that you will be having greater love, more love. Every now and then, you want to love God the more. You want to serve him the more. You are interested in the things of God, in the house of God, in the well-being of the brethren around you, in your neighbor's welfare, spiritually too. And then, spiritual discernment between good and evil will become easy. You'll be able to know the mind of God readily. Some, when they are at a crossroad, should I go to the left or right? Should I take this or that? They can't discern. They can't pick the Spirit of God to know whether this is what God wants for me or that one. They are confused. It shows that the person is not growing spiritually. If you are growing spiritually, you'll be able to discern between good and evil things. And then you will develop stronger faith than ever. You are growing in your faith. And then you have better fellowship with the Lord and the brethren. You will love the assembly of God's people. Hebrews 10:25 warned us. We should not forsake the assembly of one another, as the manner of some is, even as the day of the Lord is fast approaching. Many people's love wasn't cold. May we not fall into that category in the name of Jesus. Rather, let it be that we are more passionate. We are more determined to be with the brethren. And then you will discover that you become more submissive and obedient to the word of God. Whatever the word of God is commanding, you find that that's what you want to obey. That's what you want to do. Every other person may think otherwise. But you say, if God says it, that's what I believe, that's what I will do. And you follow doing it. And with that, you are making progress. And then, greater zeal for the Lord and concern for the lost souls. Are you concerned about the souls of people that are yet to be born again around you? Do you pray for your neighbors that are not yet born again? Your colleagues in the place of work, in the marketplace, your business partners that are not yet born again, are you concerned about them? If you are just indifferent about them, then there is something wrong. You are not catching the heartbeat of God concerning these people that are lost. Will you be happy to see them go to hell, to die in their sins? If not, your heart will always be seeking for how these ones will be born again. At every available opportunity, you want to bring the word of God to them. And then there will be hatred for sin and every appearance of evil. A growing Christian will always hate sin and every appearance of evil. Flee! That's what the word of God says. Flee from every appearance of evil. You don't toy with sin and think that you are strong, that you can always overcome it when you are supposed to flee. You find out that when you are growing spiritually, you will hate sin and every appearance of it. And then, there will be greater, deeper understanding of God and His Word. The way of the Lord will no more be hidden from you. You will always know the way of God. The way the Holy Spirit is leading will become very clear, very direct. You will not be in a confused state when you need to make decisions about the things ahead of you. And of course, brighter hopes and greater expectations for the coming of the Lord. You will always be looking forward to the coming of the Lord if you are growing spiritually. People who are not growing spiritually, they are not so bothered about if Jesus comes today or tomorrow. They are just concerned about the businesses they want to accomplish, the journeys they want to make, the dresses they want to sew, and things like that. Mundane things are the things taking the primary position in their heart. But for a growing Christian, a Christian that is growing spiritually, is more concerned about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. That anytime Jesus can come for me, the master can say, okay, my daughter, my son, you've done enough. Come home. Are you ready? Will you be ready if the master says, it is enough, come home? And that's why at times when Christians pass on and we begin to mourn like unbelievers, we need to check ourselves. Jesus Christ fulfilled his ministry at the age of 33. If somebody dies at 33 now, we will say, quite young, very young person. But the question is, has he or she fulfilled the call of God upon his or her life? That is the most important thing. Methuselah lived for 969 years. All that the Bible recorded about him was he was born, he gave birth to children, and he died. Nothing more. Nothing did he do for God that is of note, recorded in the scripture. Will your life go like that? Let it not be so. As we begin to pray, I want to challenge us to wake up and pursue after God. Pursue after the knowledge of God. Asking the Holy Spirit, every now and then, Holy Spirit, please, I need your help. I want to advance. I'm not satisfied with the state of my spiritual development. I need to move. I don't want to become stagnant. We will take a song. We want to consecrate ourselves to God again. I am dying, O Lord. I have heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. Closer drawn to thee. Shall we be on our feet as we take this song? I want you to sing this song as a prayer. Let it come from the depths of your heart to Jesus.
I love.
this to prayer in this. Call upon the Lord. I want to be nearer to you, Lord Jesus. I do not want to follow you afar off. Please, Holy Spirit, help me that I may move nearer to my Lord. The scripture says, draw nigh unto God and he will draw nigh unto you. Are you saying, Jesus, please, I'm running to you. I'm running to you. Please, Jesus, draw me nigh to yourself. I'm not satisfied with my pace of movement spiritually. Jesus, you want me to grow spiritually. I also want to grow spiritually. Please, let my heart be on fire for you. Let my desire be towards you. I do not want to be like believers who are spiritually stagnant. I do not want to be a stagnant believer. Oh, Father, please. I need your help, dear Holy Spirit. Take me deeper, deeper in love with you. Oh, Spirit of the living God, I'm not satisfied with my prayer life. I'm not satisfied with my word study. I want to know you more. I want to spend more quality time with you. I am not satisfied with the time I spend in your presence. I'm not satisfied. For I am not winning souls as I should. Lord Jesus, my love for you is no more as it should be. It should be very vibrant, very hot. I'm not so obedient to you again as I ought to be. As I used to be, I'm no more as obedient to you. Jesus, please help me, dear Holy Spirit. I need your help. I need your help. Restore me to your love. Restore me to your love, that I may love you the way you want me to love you, passionately, with the whole of my heart. Your word says, I should love the Lord with the whole of my heart, with the whole of my soul, with the whole of my mind, with the whole of my strength. This I want to do, Lord. Not to say, not just to love you with the words of mouth. Not just to say, I'm born again. But to know that, yes, I am making progress spiritually. I'm growing spiritually. I'm becoming more passionate about the things of the kingdom of my God more than ever. Please pray for yourself, my brother, my sister. I pray for myself. I'm not satisfied. I need to grow more. I want to grow more. I want to know Jesus more. I want to know the way of the Lord much more than I've ever known. I want to experience His power. Oh, Jesus, I want to experience your power more than I've ever known, more than I've ever experienced. I want to tarry much more in your presence. I want to commune with you much more than ever. I want to spend more quality time studying your word, memorizing your word, reciting your word, teaching your word, and obeying your word. Oh, Spirit of the living God, help me. This is my passion, oh Lord. This is my passion. This is my heart. I do not want to be a stagnant Christian. I do not want to remain a baby in Christ. I want to become an adult, to chew strong meat of the word of God, of the things of the Spirit. I want to grow spiritually. Oh, Father, that you may find me a formidable, veritable instrument in your hands, a dependable instrument in your hand, oh Lord. This is my prayer. Will you tell the Lord, you do not want to follow him afar off like Peter did? Peter, the foremost apostle, when the chiefs were down, he said, I go a fishing. I better go and mind my business that I used to know. That shall not be my Lord. I shall not draw back. I shall not look back. I'm going forward. I'm going forward. I'm going forward in the name of Jesus. I refuse to remain spiritually ignorant. I want to search the word of God. I want to know the mind of God. I will sit with the word of God much more than ever. This is my resolution. This is my resolve today. Oh God, help me. Nikapushta masanta kaya la ralia. Dikele masanta ya la dika ushte momo. Yekapasanta kaya la dikekekekekekelema. Likamasa. Today, I have heard your word. I have heard your voice. I long to rise in the arm of faith. I want to be drawn closer to you, Lord. Jesus, draw me now. Dear Holy Spirit, draw me now. Draw me now to yourself, to your precious side. Jesus, consecrate me now to your service. May I become much more dependable instrument in your hand. Pray for yourself. Can the Lord depend on you? Can Jesus depend on you? Can the Holy Spirit wake you up in the middle of the night and say, my daughter, get up, pray, and you obey? Or will you rationalize? Will you procrastinate or postpone the assignment? He wants an immediate response, an immediate action. Let it be that from today we are saying, Lord, whatever you say to me, I will obey. I will not be like Amaziah, who though he served you. People could see that he served you, but your word tells us that it was not with the whole heart. That shall not be my Lord. I will not serve the Lord half-heartedly. I will not serve the Lord half-heartedly anymore. I want to serve the Lord with the whole of my heart, with the whole of my being, with the whole of my strength, with all that I have, with all that is with me, within me. Will I serve the Lord? Lord, rekindle in me passion for souls, perishing souls around me. There are so many souls around me I come across every day that do not know you as their Lord and Savior. May I not just walk past them without telling them the need for them to give their lives over to you. Oh, Lord, have mercy upon us. Come, Holy Spirit, we pray. Burden our hearts afresh. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to burden our hearts for the perishing souls, both around us and afar. Let's pray that we will pray more for missionaries who are at the forefront, some in the rural places, some in the places where they are being persecuted. Let us pray that we become more passionate in our prayers for them, more passionate for the things of the kingdom, not just following routine every now and then. Check your prayer. Is your prayer life a routine, just a routine, saying the same thing over and over? Not more with passion, no more with fervency. Lord, I want to leave that stage and make progress. I want to make progress. No more mundane things in my life. No more things that do not gender for spiritual progress. I cast them aside. Pray for yourself. Some of us, are you really praying? Pray for yourself. If you don't pray for yourself, then you remain stagnant. You remain on the same spot. Lord, keep us santa ya la raleli eka santa ya. I shall not remain on the same spot. I begin to make progress. Draw me nearer, O Lord. Nearer, blessed Lord. Nearer to you. Oh, Mashikelia. Pray that you begin to see signs of spiritual growth in your life. That is your love for God and the things of God for the people around you. Become more and more loving God, more and more loving and becoming passionate about the things of God much more than ever. Oh Father, this is my prayer. Let this become much more evident in my life, and that I become spiritually discerning, that I will always know good from evil. I will no more be in confused state, whether they are little things or major things. Father, that I may know your mind always. And that means I'll be always in touch with you, dear Holy Spirit. Oh, my son, I am here. Leka pa santa ya la dia leka oshte ma. Leka pa santa. Cause me to be strong in faith. Pray for yourself. Holy Spirit, I need to be stronger in faith than I've ever been.
I want to become strong in faith than I have ever been. Ah, that my fellowship with you will become much more dynamic, much more fruitful, much more rewarding. That from today, my fellowship with you, Lord, will become much more cordial. Oh, Spirit of the living God, let my quiet time always be very vibrant, dynamic. Oh, Spirit of God, cause my inner ears to be open always to hear your voice. May I not be dull of hearing. Spiritually, oh Lord, I want to hear you. I want to know you. I want to walk in your way at all times. I want to see the manifestation of your power through my life. Lord, let there be the manifestation of your power through my life more than ever. Find me a useful instrument in your hand, a useful instrument for your kingdom in this end time. I will not just sit down warming the chair in the church every now and then. May I become a very veritable instrument in your hand, a dependable in your instrument in your hand that you can use for your own purpose, that you can use for your own pleasure at every point in time. Grant that I have become zealous for the Lord and concerned for the lost. Zealous for the things of the Spirit. Zealous for the things of the house of my God. And to hate sin with all manner of hatred. I hate sin. I hate that which gender unto evil. Every appearance of evil, I will be far from them. In the name of Jesus, evil shall not have any association with me. Sin shall not be my lot. Sin shall not have a place in my thoughts, in my words, in my actions. Sin will be far from me. Oh, ma sheke le para la lia kapushte mama. Jika pralika pushte mama suku praya la dia. Jika pushte mama santa kekere. Ah, oh, ma sheka la dia. This is our prayer, Lord. Ma santa ya la dia. Pray, lastly, that you will always be heavenly focused. Always looking for the coming of the Lord. Being heavenly focused. Being heavenly focused, my brother, my sister, that you will always think of heaven every day, knowing that we are but sojourners here on earth. Sooner or later, we will leave this earth. Therefore, we must be conscious of where we are going. Oh, Spirit of the living God, may I not become so attracted to the things of this world that I lose focus of heaven. Lord, I pray that you will help me. Drawing my attention to heaven every now and then. My home in heaven. I look forward to it. I look forward to my going to heaven. May that always be my lot, O God. Looking forward to my getting to your presence and be welcome home. Oh, Father, this is my heart cry. That every day, every moment, I will have heaven in view. Pray for yourself, brother. Don't say, well, God, don't take me home yet. Or don't come yet. Lord Jesus, I want to get married. Oh, I want to buy a car. I want to build a house. I want to buy this. I want to do that. Those are mundane things that parents will choose. Rather, pray. Lord, anytime you call me or you come to take your jewels home, may I be numbered amongst them. May I be acceptable in your sight. May my life be acceptable and pleasing to you, Lord. Anytime you say it is enough, son, come home. May I be acceptable in your sight. Oh, Father, this is my heart cry. This is my ultimate prayer. That at the end of it all, I be acceptable in your sight. Oh, Father, may I be found faithful. May I be found faithful in your sight, seeking to do your will, seeking to obey you at all times, in all situations, over everything. Lord Jesus, your interest first in my life. Your interest first in my life. Your interest first in my life. This is my prayer. You must increase in my life. Your presence must increase in my life. I must decrease. Why you increase in my life? Self must decrease, must be cast down. while Jesus is enthroned at all times over my life, Holy Spirit, I depend on you to help me to be my helper, that I may make spiritual progress every now and then. King of glory. Oh, Jesus.
Father, we receive grace to decrease while you increase. Grace to decrease while you increase. Lord, we receive that grace in the name of Jesus. Thank you very much, Lord. Father, we bless you. We give you praise. We give you honor. We give you adoration, even for blessing us tonight, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jehovah. We magnify you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we are prayed. Our Lord and our God, we thank you very much, even for blessing us this evening and reminding us to set our priorities right. I will focus on you. You will be our focus in the name of Jesus. This evening, we thank you even for blessing us to be blessed. Thank you for the resources you have placed in our hands. And as you are bringing just a little out of the resources you have placed at our disposal, we ask, oh Lord, that it will be used to propagate your gospel here on earth. And we pray, oh Lord, for those who do not have, that will bless them. And for those who are giving tonight, bless them the more in the name of Jesus. Thank you, everlasting Father. So by this token, we rebuke lack. We ask, oh Lord, that we rebuke the devourer for our sake in the name of Jesus. Thank you, blessed Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name, we are prayed.